Welcome to the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, where we pop the champagne to celebrate the unexplored joys and endless adventures that await us in the midlife. Flipping the script on what it means to hit those fabulous 40s, 50s and beyond. Because here, we don't believe in midlife crises, only midlife revolutions. Reminding you that the only thing we're letting go of at midlife is the notion that it's all downhill from here. Nope, we're here to climb higher, dream bigger, and laugh louder. Each week, we'll dive into the myths, share the truths, and unlock the secrets to making the midlife years your best years yet. From rediscovering lost passions to embarking on new adventures, we're covering it all. Expect candid conversations with inspiring guests who've turned their midlife years into their most dynamic chapter yet. We're talking to everyone from entrepreneurs who've launched successful startups, from their kitchen tables to adventurers who decided age is just a number when it comes to climbing mountains or sailing the seas. So if you've ever found yourself pondering, is this all there is? Or you're just eager to embrace the richness of midlife with both arms wide open, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's show the world that life doesn't just begin at 20, it begins again at midlife. And remember, in the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, the only rule is to live confidently, love unconditionally, and laugh uncontrollably. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Life Begins at Midlife. Today I've got Heather Angel here to come and have a conversation with us about life and how, you know, we get stuck in a rut sometimes around midlife. So welcome, Heather. It's lovely to have you as a guest today.
Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to this so much.
Perfect. So would you like to tell the guests a little bit about, you know, who is Heather? You know, what makes you as special as you are?
Oh, that's a beautifully worded question. It's a big question though, isn't it? If we all ask, like, who are we? But in a nutshell, I am a mum of two, single mum of two, got divorced, separated back in 2019. And as a career, I have worked in lots of different industries, hospitality, beauty, health, fitness. And then I had a long stint working in the banking industry for my sins. But that was I was a bank manager of four different branches looking after sort of 30 plus staff. So that was quite a job I was very good at, but slowly was eating my soul. It wasn't the best environment for me. So since 2015, I've run my own business and I am a mentor, coach, and wellness consultant for individuals and businesses. I help them in all different areas. I'm somatically trained and trauma informed and got certificates coming out my ears for various bits and bobs. I love working with people. I love helping people. And that's ultimately what I've been put on this planet to do. I truly believe that ever since I was little, that's all I've wanted to do is help people. Thought I'd be a nurse when I was a kid and then realized you had to deal with gross stuff like sick and stuff, and I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. I just want to talk to people and be nice to them, like all the nurses were whenever I was in hospital. So I was like, oh no, I just want to help people. And that is really the core of what's got me to the point of where I am now, really.
Gosh, yeah, no, I can completely understand about the nursing side of things. I've always been told that I wouldn't have made a very good nurse because I don't deal with that kind of stuff very well. So
I'm way too squeamish.
Yeah, I think there's a certain kind of person that can deal with that sort of thing, and that's not where we fit in. No. So with your clients, do you find that there is a sort of a specific sort of thing that they come to you for, you know, when they come to when they knock on your door?
Yeah, so I think on the surface level, majority of people come to me because they're usually business owners. That's the environment that I'm in. So they're usually business owners, usually wanting to come to make a big change in their business, make more money, or they're feeling really overwhelmed. But really what the similarity with all my clients is about actually unpacking what's going on for them.
because a lot of the time, yes, we can talk about strategy and we can talk about, you know, marketing and all these things that we can do for the business, but quite often they're sabotaging themselves. And sometimes they see it, sometimes they don't. And it's often so under so many layers. It's a really process of peeling back all the layers of kind of going, okay, well, like the question you started with, who are you? Who are you right in this moment of your life? Not the person you were told you should be at school, or not the person you were conditioned to be by your family. Who are you? And what do you desire for your life and business? And actually, when we get into those really big questions, the magic starts to happen, because they go, oh, well, actually, I'm not someone that wants to be sat behind a desk for 8 hours a day. And I'm actually not this person that I was told I was going to be, or all these different things come about. And it can be unnerving for people, for sure, because it's sort of almost realizing that the identity that they've been holding on to for so long maybe wasn't the true identity of who they are. So that's really what I help people do, is come back to themselves. And I know we were talking before we hit record that I joke with people that I'm on a bit of a mission just to put myself out of business, because I don't want people to be in that kind of codependent coaching therapy cycle with me. I don't want, you know, my ambition is never to go, yes, work with me, or, you know, make them believe that they're broken and that they need to keep working with me every single week. My ambition for them is for them to work with me, get to the point where they have that super high level of self-awareness, they have the tools available to them to move forward, so that when, you know, it hits the fan every now and then, which it will do, they have those tools and strategies and inner strength to deal with things. And I want them to be able to do it by themselves. I don't want them to have to think, oh, I need to go for another year of therapy because I've had another relationship breakup or something's happened. So that's sort of my mission when I work with people, is just to really, really remind them that they're awesome how they are. And it's actually just peeling back and getting to know themselves and opening up that levels of awareness, so that they can, you know, understand what's happening and what's triggering them. But they don't necessarily need to fall into that, oh my goodness, I'm broken and I need external help. There's so much they can do for themselves.
Absolutely. So giving them their own little toolkit that they can tap into. And then obviously if they need a little bit of extra help, they can still come and knock on your door. But it's not that, you know, the wheels fall off every time that something happens and they have to, you know, phone a friend and say, please help me. Can you bail me out of this situation? And
yeah. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, one of the biggest things I think we struggle with is in society is we have such a lack of connection nowadays. So I'm not saying for a second that, you know, don't reach out to people. I think it's really important to have that courage when things are tough to sort of hold your hands up and say to someone, I am struggling with this. Can you help me? But what I do see is that we are in, you know, I'm talking as a, you know, person in the West, in the UK, that we very much have this cycle of kind of, oh, life's hard, go to work, do the slog, live for the weekend, go to the pub on the weekend, you know, or, you know, if a lot of people are saying now they don't really have the money to do that, but they're still maybe buying the beers, sit in, have a takeaway. That's their kind of, okay, this is their release and relax. And then it's back to the slog. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we have to work, and not all of us get the joy and the privilege of like absolutely loving our work, but it doesn't have to be this life that we have to try and get through. It's like a life that we should be trying to live and enjoy. And yes, it's not going to be unicorns and rainbows all the time, but to be able to get to the weekend and not feel like you have to, you know, escape your life. That you not have to sort of obliterate yourself with alcohol or drugs or whatever it is to kind of escape what you've had to endure for the week. You know, that kind of, I'd love to get people into the place where they're like, oh, actually, you know, I'm really happy with who I am, and I know who I am, and I know what I enjoy, and I can find pleasure in all kinds of different things. I'm not saying don't go to the pub, bloody love going to the pub, but it doesn't, I see it a lot with clients when it's become a bit of a coping mechanism. There's coping mechanisms to get through life, which, you know, is heartbreaking to see people struggle just to get through the week and thinking that there's nothing better on the other side.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, they've been conditioned to think that, you know, you've signed up for whatever you've signed up for, and now you just need to see it through to the end until one day, mm-hmm. you hopefully you get to retire. And then you can maybe have some time to find yourself, or you might be so ill that you don't have the energy to even get that.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. So when my husband and I separated in 2019, and the divorce was all finalized a couple of years later. But what I found was, when I went through all my journals and stuff, I've been an avid journaler for years, I was desperately trying to fix a failing marriage, like from about 2015, 2016. I just had journals and journals of things going, oh, what can I do to fix this? What can I do to make it better? Da, 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 da. But it was all happening in my head. I was desperately trying to be, the version of what I thought a wife and a mother should be. And again, it goes down to that conditioning. I'd seen, you know, my mum and dad are still together, and they do have a very beautiful relationship, but they have a relationship of their time. You know, it's very much the guy went out to work, mum looked after the kids, and very much her life was to be in service of the kids and the husband. And I don't mean that in a, you know, to what people think that's in a toxic way, a very healthy way, but of the time, definitely not what I now want for my life. But that was what I was trying to replicate. I was trying to be this mum and take care of my husband. And I just thought, oh, this is what it is. But I was miserable because I'm very ambitious, very, very ambitious. And I was like, I can't be some kind of doormat and try and run. I was trying to run a business. I'd literally look after the kids, be up at 5 in the morning, get the kids sorted, look after them. And they weren't at school at that point. And then, you know, look after them and do the wifey thing, cook the dinner and all that kind of stuff. And I would then start work on my business at 9 o'clock at night. I'd stop at like 1 in the morning and then repeat. And I would just fit clients in when I actually had like paid work, fit seeing clients. I'd fit it in between. And I was like, wonder why I'm so tired.
you were trying to conform to all the labels that you had allowed to be put onto you by yourself or by people around you. You know, a mum needs to be this kind of person, a wife needs to be this kind of person, and then of course business owner needs to be this kind of person. But we both know that a mum can be any kind of version of what you wanted to be. A wife can be whatever version you and your husband agree it to be. And then a business owner can be whatever you want it to be as the business owner. It doesn't have to be that box that we've been conditioned to have or to think that it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But
allowing ourselves that space to get to know ourselves and what we bring to the table. Because each person's different. You're going to be different to me. We might still be a mum, a wife, and a business owner. But the way you want to do your life will be different potentially to what I would want to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, the box analogy is absolutely spot on, because I feel even now, very recently, so I've very recently come out of a relationship, and it's that sort of unraveling of that, like, okay, well, what happened there and how did that not serve correctly? Like, how was that not right? And I was like, yeah, once again, you know, I was trying to be, I wanted to be in this box. I was like, all right, well, this is a relationship and this is how relationships are. And I do that with, you know, so many aspects of life. It's so easy to kind of go, well, this is what, you know, it is to be a business owner. I find that sometimes even posting on LinkedIn, I'm like, oh, well, this is a very professional space. So which box should I put myself in today? And it's absolutely exhausting, and it's something I have very much promised myself. This recent eclipse season has turned everything on its head, I must say. Trying to live within that box when you're not supposed to be in it is suffocating, absolutely suffocating. And I know we were talking before we hit record that we're lucky in some senses to be in these kind of industries where we've done the work on ourselves and we've done that unraveling for ourselves, to have that awareness of when we've realized, oh, hang on a minute, I've put a really big lid on this box and I can't move. And we can have that self-awareness to go, right, something needs to change. You know, what have I fallen back into? Because the sad thing is, you know, the whole point of this podcast is like, what happens at midlife? I think it's just such a shame that it's happening in midlife, because we have, you know, decades decades of conditioning. So it's so easy to fall back into that because it's just so hardwired into us. Like, oh, that's how you behave. That's how you show up. And it's a real, it does need that conscious effort to go, nope, hang on a minute. That's not who I am. That's not how I want to show up. And you have to really take a step back and go, right, this is how I want to be. Get myself back on the right path.
Yeah. And then also, you know, you've got to get to know yourself again, because I know from my point of view, I've, squished myself down, and there's so many layers of, shoulds, coulds, woulds, don't do this, don't do that, be quiet, don't talk so loud, don't laugh, don't run, don't giggle, just sit quiet in the corner. Little girls don't need to be heard. They should just be seen. All those things that play in your subconscious all the time, you've now got to, get to this point in your life and realize, well, if I want to giggle, I can giggle. It doesn't matter. If someone thinks I'm being silly, well, that's their opinion, not mine. If it makes me happy, surely I can do that. But then in the back of our mind, you're thinking, we're in a restaurant or something like that. If I just all of a sudden start laughing at the top of my head and people start looking at me, you think, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And then you find yourself so easily back in that box again. And if you do that over and over again, due to being in a relationship that might be triggering you to be, that kind of person again, before you know it, you're quite comfortable back.
Yeah, and then that's the tricky thing, isn't it? I think for a lot of people, is it is comfortable. What's that saying? So we will choose a familiar hell rather than unfamiliar heaven. And that is so true, because, a lot of the work I do is somatic. So we work with the nervous system, and we will keep ourselves in a quote unquote bad situation because it is familiar. And even if we consciously we don't want this, it's so scary because our body goes, well, no, this is what we know. So don't move out of this, because then your system goes, no, this is scary. And it takes a lot. And that's, that is when you need, a therapist or a coach or a someone to sort of hold your hand in that circumstance to kind of go, yeah, let's slowly move yourself away from that. But yeah, I think it's the tricky thing is that you touched on there. As women, we are so conditioned that we must be liked. We are such people pleasers. That example of laughing in the restaurant, I can imagine now I would do that and I would not care one little bit who looks at me, who I'm like, yep, see, they said something funny, I laughed. To be honest, I probably wouldn't even notice if people were like, oh, because I just don't care. Just don't care anymore. But 15 years ago, absolutely, I would have scanned the room subconsciously, thought, right, okay, how do I need to behave in this situation? Which, as humans we do anyway, but I would have very much been mortified if I laughed loud, and I would have noticed someone going, oh, she was a bit loud, and I would be like, oh no, I did something wrong. And then I would just be really quiet for the rest of the night. I know that's exactly how I'd have shown up.
And probably ruminated on it for the next couple of weeks, because you think,
absolutely,
go back to that place again, because the waiter might remember me that I was the person that laughed loudly at the in that corner. And people haven't even remembered you, that 5 minutes later, let alone 3 weeks down the line.
Yeah, exactly. We get completely in our own head. And it's a big change for people. I think, an analogy I've heard you use about, sort of being rooted like a tree. Like we have the flexibility to move and change and pivot and evolve. And I think since, for the last 4 years, I think the whole world has had a moment of like, oh, okay, with the pandemic and everything, life changed so quickly. And we had a chance to look at our lives and go, what's going on? Is this what I want? I mean, the amount of people I have as clients who have told me that they got divorced, or that's when they separated, because they just had that pause moment to go, is this the life I want? And a lot of them went, no, this is not the life I want. So it's really just having that space sometimes to look at, because everyone's lives are busy, you know, you've got kids and partners and jobs and everything, having that time to really look at it and go, is this the life I really want to create? Or as in my situation, I got to the point I was like, I've created a life I don't love at all. And I'd worked so hard.
Sort of inside, you feel that sort of like niggle, that like restless feeling of like, surely there's more to life than this.
Yeah.
And you don't quite know what that is, but you just have that yearning. And that then, of course, takes you onto the interesting path of discovering.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I think that question of like, there must be more to life than this, I think that is one of, I don't know if it's so much so prevalent for the younger generation now, but certainly for when I was a kid, you were told, you know, you go to school, you get a job, you know, maybe go to uni. That was never a conversation in my household. My parents didn't finish school. So the fact that I finished school with GCSEs and everything, like, yes, you cracked it. You've done it. So, you know, I went to college, traveled, got a job. And, you know, the messaging was, right, that's what you do. And you need to have a partner. So you must, you know, you get married, you get a house, you have children, and then, you know, buy a bigger house and have more children. And the thing is, once I'd done all that, you know, I married the wrong guy. I did, you know, I loved him dearly, but he showed me within the first 2 years of our relationship that he was the wrong person to marry. But I was so invested in my, you know, young 20s of like, but I've just put 2 years into this. I can't go. What, like, I have to get married and buy a house. I'm on track. I have a plan, God damn it, and I'm going to see it through.
Even if it kills me in the process, but I'm going to get to that finish line. Boy, oh boy.
Exactly. I did not know about intuition at this point, but yeah, it was screaming at me going, we've given you this warning sign. I'm like, no, my plan is going this direction. Thank you very much.
100%. Yeah, I think we can all identify with that kind of story.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it is a big unraveling once you've ticked those boxes, you know, especially if, I don't know if younger people would listen to this, but I think when you've ticked all those boxes of like, well, I've done all the things that I was told to have a successful life, I should be blissfully happy. I have the big house. I have the two healthy children. I have the husband. I have a car. I have a career. Why am I not living in a state of bliss right now?
Yeah.
And you kind of go, because I didn't actually need or particularly want any of those things.
Exactly. something deep down inside that you're missing, that you're not listening to. And when you stop listening to that voice, then, yeah, it's an interesting space to be in.
100%. Yeah, it really is.
So, one parting bit of advice for the listeners. Is there anything that you can?
Wow, one. I think the biggest piece of advice I could give based on my client work and my own journey is to not think that you need to change yourself. You need to remember who you are. It's far more a process of coming back to yourself than believing all the stuff that we see online of like, oh, well, you know, if you just work harder at the gym, or if you just eat this, or if you take these supplements, or if you take this mushroom adaptogen thing, you're going to be great and everything's going to be fine. You just need to work harder at changing yourself. I'm like, no. Yet there are things we need to, you know, we may have fallen into bad habits. And I say bad in quote unquote, I don't really believe in good and bad. There's always a perspective on things, but you know, there are things that you may wish to change, but it's not about that you are wrong as a person. It's about you need to remember who you are at your core. And that can take some time to reconnect to. I'm still on my journey. I don't think I'll ever stop. I'll probably be in my 80s going, oh, didn't know that about myself.
100%. And that's the fun about it, hey, is meeting ourselves and getting to know ourselves at a deeper level. And
yeah, but we're doing it with a bit more love and compassion, because I think it can be very easy to fall into the trap. I've definitely done it, of becoming so aware of all your shadow parts and your bad bits and things, you kind of go, oh my God, I'm a mess, and I'm completely unfixable. And it's realizing, actually, no, they're just parts of me, and you know, I have control about how I navigate those parts of me. So yeah, just don't buy into what we can be led to believe, that you're broken and somehow need fixing. You don't.
Absolutely. You don't at all. Very wise words, and it was lovely having you on the podcast today. And yeah, thank you very much. And we'll get you back at some point again, and we'll continue this discussion and dive a little bit deeper into getting to know ourselves better.
Amazing. Thank you.
As we wrap up another episode here at Life Begins at Midlife, we want to take a moment to extend a heartfelt thank you to our sponsor, Jackie Bourne, for Purpose Unleashed. Jackie's commitment to empowering individuals on their journey of self-discovery and transformation truly aligns with the spirit of our show. Whether you're navigating the challenges of midlife, seeking clarity on your next steps, or simply looking to live a more fulfilled life, Purpose Unleashed offers the guidance, tools, and support you need to turn your aspirations into reality. For those of you feeling stuck or at a crossroads, remember, it's never too late to redefine your path and embrace the life you've always dreamed of. Visit Purpose Unleashed website to discover how you can start your transformative journey today. Let Jackie be your guide to a more vibrant, purpose-driven life. You can find this link to the website in the show notes below. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us. Remember, every day is a new opportunity to grow, to love, and to make a difference. Until next time, keep striving, keep dreaming, and keep listening.